Morning. This morning's reading is from the book of Romans 10, 5 through 15. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, leading to righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, leading to salvation. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have not ever heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us listen, or before we listen to God's word, I invite you to pray with me. Almighty God, we are grateful to be here this morning. We come from different places. There are different things going on in our lives and our hearts. And yet, here we are, and I believe that you brought us here for a purpose. Maybe we don't know what that purpose is, but you do. And so I pray that your Spirit will remove anything that might be in the way of us hearing your message for each and every one of us individually. May we all experience the comfort of your Spirit also this morning. And may this message lift us up and give us new hope. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can you put a price tag on a hug? So just think about that for a second. Imagine your child, your grandkid, or your spouse walking up to you, throwing their arms around you, and then pulling out a credit card reader. That'll be $5, please. I mean, it sounds absurd, right? Because a hug isn't a transaction. And yet we build so much of our daily lives entirely on transactions. You have a buyer and you have a seller. You give something to get something. You hand over your heart and money, and the cashier hands over your coffee or your shoes or your groceries. And we even do it with our votes, don't we? We look at a political candidate and essentially say, I'll give you my vote if, right, if you promise to fix the economy or lower my taxes or protect my values or deal differently with the issue of immigration, whatever it may be. It's a deal we make with a candidate. And because we live in a world that is governed by deals and receipts and contracts, we start to think that everything works this way. And if we aren't careful, we bring that exact same mindset, that deal-making mindset, right through those sanctuary doors, and we apply it to Almighty God. In church terms, I mean, we have a name for this transactional mindset, and it's called works righteousness. It's the subtle and dangerous belief that we can earn a right standing with God through our good behavior. So if I pray enough, if I come to church every Sunday, if I participate enough in charity work or protests or community service, if I do good enough, then God will owe me. Then God will give me His favor. Then God will answer my prayers or bring about His kingdom on my schedule. Even the way we share the gospel can accidentally sound like a business deal. We tell people, if you repent and follow Jesus, God will give you eternal life. Sounds a lot like a transaction, doesn't it? Now, hear me clearly, okay? The New Testament calls us loudly and clearly to do good works and live like true citizens of God's kingdom. We do good works. But Scripture never links those good works to how we get saved. In other words, you can't buy salvation with good deeds. And this brings us right to the Apostle Paul in our passage from Romans 10. Because Paul contrasts two very different paths. He talks about the righteousness that comes from the law. Okay, this is when you try to earn your way to God. Righteousness that comes from the law, obeying the letter of the law. And he contrasts that with righteousness that comes from faith. Now, sometimes Paul's writing can be a little dense, so listen to how Eugene Peterson translates Romans 10, 8 to 10 in the Message paraphrase. Paul says, it's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting Him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God, setting things right, and then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between Him and me. It says that is salvation. You aren't striking a bargain with God. You aren't signing a contract. It's not a transaction. Salvation is a gift. It's freely given. It's fully paid for. Salvation is wrapped in radical grace. By the way, this struggle with works righteousness is not something that's new, okay? Way back in the 4th century, a brilliant teacher named Augustine was wrestling with God. And he loved his sinful lifestyle and was fighting God with everything he had. But one afternoon, in a garden, he heard a child's voice saying, "Take it and read." And he opened the Bible to Romans. And in an instant, God's grace flooded his heart. And it transformed his life. And Augustine realized, I was fighting God with all my might, but He saved me anyway by His grace. A monk named Pelagius came along and argued, no, Augustine, that's dangerous. If you tell people salvation is a free gift, they'll just sit back and relax. God only gives grace to those who work hard for it. Augustine stood his ground and said, a grace that you have to earn isn't grace at all. The Reformed theology has condemned the teachings of Pelagius as a heresy, okay? So we fall in the Augustinian camp when it comes to God's grace. It's not something we earn. It's a free gift of God. Now, some people hear this and ask, well, you know, wait a second. If grace is completely free and if it's unearned, doesn't that mean bad people get a free pass? You know, Jesus answered that with a parable about a farmer sowing seeds. And I preached on this passage in Matthew 13 just a few weeks ago. But picture this farmer, okay, striding across his field, flinging handfuls of seed everywhere. Some falls on the hard path. Some falls on rocky ground. Some falls amongst thorns. And some falls on good soil. Now, if you're an agricultural consultant, you'd fire this farmer on day one. Because you'd say, this is wildly inefficient. Why waste seed on the rocks and the thorns? Because, says Jesus, the sower is God, and the seed is His grace. And God has an inexhaustible supply of grace. Like the farmer who sows the seed everywhere, He throws His grace lavishly over every heart. And yeah, many hearts reject it, sure. But when a heart opens up and receives it, that grace takes root and produces a harvest beyond belief. To bring this home, I want to share a short story with you about a 5-year-old girl named, let's say, Christy. And for a couple of years, Christy attended an integrated preschool alongside children with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Christy's mom learned that the special needs school welcomed a few kids each year who had no intellectual disability. And the school's experience was that kids with higher skills and learning abilities, identified in preschool jargon as TDPs, or typically developing peers, that they actually help the special needs kids achieve more. And because Christy grew up in that environment, she doesn't see people with disabilities as different or other. To her, they are just kids. And her potential best friends. And so the thing about Christy is that she's a natural hugger. And so if a new child walks into church or a playground, regardless of their abilities, she'll run right up to them with her arms wide open and wrap them in a giant hug. Now, someone could push her away. They could reject the hug. But that wouldn't stop Christy from offering it. So listen, I realize that no human story can fully capture Almighty God. But I know this. There is grace in those hugs. And so think about it in a spiritual sense. Sin is a deep disability that affects every single one of us. We couldn't cure ourselves. We couldn't work our way out of it. But that didn't stop God from opening his arms on the cross, offering us a divine hug, a hug of total redemption and grace. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to earn it. All you have to do is open your arms, receive it, and let that incredible grace motivate you to live and love and serve like Jesus every day of your life. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, so often we want to earn our way. We think we can be saved through the things we do. And yes, you want us to do good, not to earn your favor, but as acts of gratitude for your love and your grace in our lives. Help us truly understand that grace is a gift. It's your free gift to us because it's been paid for already. It's been paid for by your Son, Jesus Christ. All we need to do is open our arms, receive your warm hug of grace, and believe. It's not through what we do. It's by putting our trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. May that be true for all of us as we give you thanks for that amazing gift of grace through your Son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.